All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. This is the...
Square.
This is the podcast cast coming at you. The Square Table Podcast. We are sitting at a square table. Social distancing. We're pretty much within the recommendations. Pretty much. But want to say welcome to you if you're listening, maybe for the first time. We usually do these about once a week. And Pastor Andrew here, and to my left, as always, is...
Good morning, everyone. It's Cameron.
Cameron, and then straight across...
Corlin.
Corlin. So the three of us, the podcast cast. And so what we do basically is each week take an aspect of theology or doctrine and then just hash it out and talk about what it means and then why that's important to our everyday lives, how it changes the way that we live. So I would encourage you to go back a few episodes if you've missed, because we talk about why theology is important. We've talked about God's...
God's omnipotence.
Omnipotence. Then we did talk about, you know, suffering and what's going on with this whole COVID-19 thing. So this week... We want to talk about God's omnipresence. So, I'm just going to...
I'd whistle if I could, but I can't, so...
Wow, Corlin doesn't know how to whistle.
I can't, yeah.
It's the beard.
It's the beard, yeah. You're going to get your beard caught in the mic. Have you had that
No, not
yet?
With the mic yet. Not yet.
And then you pull away and...
I'll just social distance from the mic.
Yeah, 6 feet, please. I turned on the podcast and it was just blank. There was no talking. Social distancing. So anyways, God's omnipresence. So I'm just going to throw that out there. What is that? What does that mean?
Yeah. I've been unpacking that a little bit just through some of the research I've been doing for school. And it's interesting to think of how we view the presence of God in and among us today, how we think of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of how many Western Christians view the Holy Spirit and God in general has been navigated through doctrines and through language that have essentially sometimes landed us on the idea of a Holy Ghost. And those words and that kind of those metaphors have often led some folks, myself included, to viewing God as a bit of a genie in the bottle. You know what I mean? Like, he's here when I call on him, and then he'll leave when I'm feeling like not being close. And so, it'll be good to unpack that a little bit this morning, just around, you know, is God among us, and how does that then change the way we interact with each other, ourselves, the way we view God in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know when it was said that we were going to be covering this in our podcast cast, figuring out what we were going to talk about, I know there was part of me that was kind of like, well, why do we got to talk about that? Like, it just, that is, yeah. That is the way
boring.
He
it's
is.
Just a
like,
yeah.
Like, what's to unpack? Like, okay, what does it mean? Well, he's everywhere. Why? Because he's God. Okay, done. End of podcast, right? But you're right. I think there is actually a lot to unpack. I think that if we have a correct view of God's omnipresence or of God in general, it should and will affect our day-to-day life and how we act and everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, here, I'll throw a definition out if people are not totally aware. Yeah, God's omnipresence. Omni just means all, and presence obviously means presence. But one guy I read, Wayne Grudem, he's a theologian, he said this as a definition: God does not have size or spatial dimensions and is present at every point of space with his whole being, yet God acts differently in different places. So I don't know what, I just want to, like, gut responses to that. God does not have size or spatial dimensions and he's present at every point of space with his whole being, yet God acts differently in different places.
I think, like I've said on one of our last podcasts, that like instantly breaks my brain.
Yeah, right.
God does not have size.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a good headache.
But it's true. I think, and rightfully so, God should break our boxes. He's God. He's not creation. He's not something that is created.
Yeah.
But I know in even my own mind that that doesn't fit, because as soon as it's like it's without space, it's like, okay, but then how big are we really talking?
Yeah.
Like, like how far does that reach out? And I think that it's dangerous to start thinking about it that way, because then you're still trying to scale God and instead of viewing him as God and that just actually being how it is. Mm-hmm. Not that that's easy to do.
For our church, the way it is, it's harder for us to think of God in places where we think God isn't. And especially related to missions and going out and preaching God to take. We have this Matthew 28 kind of possibly accident in thinking we're going to put God in a satchel and put him on a plane and go around the world and then present God somewhere. I've said before, there are unchurched places on the earth, but there are not un-God places on the earth. So it reminds me of Paul on his mission to Athens in Acts 17, where he's among these people and he's at risk of being, you know, again, battered for his new doctrine, but he actually finds an idol that says to the unknown God. And it's a really interesting point for us to rest, because what he's doing is essentially going and seeing, like, God is living in and among you, and I'm here to kind of reveal for you what's already been happening, what already is there. And I think that's really interesting to think about, in that God somehow, his spirit is living and moving throughout all of the earth. Mm-hmm. So that would include, you know, Haiti, where they say, you know, witchcraft is most rampant. Like, at some point, somewhere, if we were to truly believe God is everywhere, God is there. And mm-hmm. so if we're there on a journey or on a mission, or if there's Bible believing Christians there, then part of their role is finding where God is moving in that space.
I think it's really easy for Christians to kind of get stuck in the trap of thinking of God as being everywhere with us and that's it. So like, the moment we leave a room, he comes with us, and that room is now a void of God. Like we forget that he's there, kind of thing, because we feel like he's with us, so then he can't be somewhere else. So then I think we can come up with childish questions like, well, is he still in my truck that I parked outside just today? Is he still under the couch? Like, is he in the maintenance closet? You never know, Cameron. You don't know me. No, I'm kidding. But I think it can leave us with childish questions like that. And in some ways, I would go as far as to say it doesn't matter, because he is. He is everywhere. But at the same time, like, it doesn't matter, but it does, because we have to understand that he is everywhere. But when it comes to, like, in essence, the childish nature of some of those questions of, like, well, is he actually in Africa where, you know, we don't see him moving like we see in all of our churches? Well, yes, he is. But like Andrew was saying, he works differently in different places.
Yeah.
Places with capitalism has a more evidence of the Holy Spirit. Places where there's wealth. Because I've been to churches in developing countries, you know, and the joy and contentment and worship I wish I would see in some of our North American circles. So I think it's interesting when we get that view. You're very right. Like, oh, it's obvious to my little mind that God must not be as present there.
I have to bring him there. He'll come with me.
Or we pray for a region to see, you know, quote unquote revival, not appreciating what might already be happening. Because even the word revival, I think you touched on it in a recent sermon, Andrew, like, we have this mindset that we're going to see this move of the Spirit that is most often evidenced through charismatic, or even Pentecostal circles. And so that's actually left much of the rest of the church with this idea of, like, if we haven't seen God move like that, then is God moving? Is God present? Mm-hmm. If we've not seen those that stream of revelation. And that's very problematic, because there's so many other ways we see God move through Scripture that some are more subtle, but are just as significant.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of things, and I have a couple of verses that kind of explain this. So if you're listening, we're not just pulling this out of nowhere.
Good call.
I just love that definition, and it's a good reminder that God doesn't have size or spatial dimensions, because I think we think of God like that. God's really big. Like, we use words like that, right? And we're thinking, like, spatially, right? How big would God be?
Are we talking Eiffel Tower or CN Tower?
Well, yeah, if his presence is everywhere in the world, then he must be as big spatially wise as the planet. But so there was one guy, he said that we have to get, and again, like you said, Coraline, sometimes your brain just hurts, that God doesn't have size or spatial dimensions. Even he said, you know, before, this is one theologian, before God created the universe, there was no matter or material, so there was no space. Yet God still existed. Where was God? He wasn't in a place called where there was nowhere or no space, but God still was. So even that, I was like, man, that is very true and very hard to wrap my brain around. Before, like in the very first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning was God, and God hadn't created time or space or matter, and yet he was there. And so he completely exists outside of what we kind of view as time and space and matter. And then the idea that he's present in every point of space, I think it's important for people listening to know. It's not as if we're saying, like, God, how would you word this? It's not like he, like, spreads himself out so he's, like, 25% in North America and he's 25% in A, right? He's not like we all get a certain percent. No, God is fully everywhere. So, like, how much of God's presence is with us right now? All of it. That's hard. Like, think about that, right? How much is God of God's presence is with the Chinese persecuted church? All of it. He is fully everywhere. It's like, well, I can't understand that. I mean, Jeremiah 23:24. God's speaking to, I'll read the verse before it too. He says, you know, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? So he's saying, like, am I just here, or am I also far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? So there's that idea of the presence of God actually filling the earth and heaven. And then the classic one, right, Psalm 139, where David, where can I go from your spirit? And then he says all those examples. If I go to the highest mountain, you're there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. And he says basically, like, it's a rhetorical question. Where can I go from your spirit? Well, nowhere. God, you're everywhere.
Yeah. On a bit of a side note, I definitely went to the Message translation due to one of our last conversations to, like, try and see how this was worded different in Jeremiah 23.
Yeah.
It's actually very close to word for word. And I found that actually really interesting, because there's a lot of things in the Message that are not word for word at all. But not only in essence, but it was very close to what's written in Jeremiah 23. So I think that that's actually a really interesting thing, that even in trying to put it in simple, you know, formal language of today, God's omnipresence is described exactly as God describes it in Jeremiah 23. Like, I think that should point out to, well, maybe this is the wrong way of putting it, but to how true that is. Like, if you can't even translate it, if you can't even dumb it down, like, God for Dummies, and it's got, like, God's omnipresence, and it's quoted Jeremiah 23.
Yeah.
I think that's a truth, then, that is meant to be accepted, whether or not that's hard or not.
Yeah. And that's the last time Corlin ever appeared on this podcast.
Corlin disappears.
I'm sure.
Social distancing begins to affect real bad.
So I think, yeah, there's, like you said, Corlin, there's aspects of it where you go, yeah, I mean, God's everywhere. And you can almost kind of move on. But there are parts of it where it's kind of like, wow, the significance of that God is fully everywhere. So how much of God's presence is with me? All of it. And with you, and with you, and with the tribes in Africa, and with Christians in China, and whatever. So I think, one, that's super encouraging, that It's not like we only get, I just get a little piece of God's presence. It's like, no, you get the whole thing. And then he's everywhere at once. It's not one part of God in one place and another part of God in another place. It's, you know, God himself. So that helps us avoid, I think, thinking of God in like just size or spatial dimensions, because, and this is where he is not like us, right? I can't even be partly somewhere and partly somewhere else.
Well, like, you could, but it'd be very painful.
Yeah, right. So like to, but to say that like, and you can't even use physical examples because yeah. God's not constrained. Like one guy I read was talking about a sponge and he said, now keep in mind, this analogy breaks down, but if you like submerge a sponge in water, you know, the water is everywhere in the sponge, but it's not the sponge. I'm like, okay, you can, that kind of helps a little bit,
yeah,
but not really, because those are two physical
things
confined to time and space and matter, and God is not confined to those things. So, you know, I think it's, some of those analogies help in some ways, but they're just, it's just us trying to like bring God down to our, because that's how our brains work. Everything has to be time and space and matter, like that's how we function. Yeah. And so to think of God as not being confined to any of those things, it's, ooh, man, that's hard to wrap your brains around.
I was recently reading a Christian environmentalist who was reminding readers that this train of thought often just rests with us thinking God is present with people, with his church, so to speak, forgetting scripture tells us, even in Romans, that, you know, all creation groans for the coming of the Lord. And in Psalms, the heavens are declaring his presence. The sky above proclaims the work of his hand. And we forget that, well, I believe, based on what I've read, that God is in and through his creation. What does that look like for, you know, to God, for God to be present? Because I think that the easy thing is just to think that he's alive in our hearts and he's just with people and his, you know, all of them exists within us. And I think that's, could be challenging just because I do, when we read about him having created and looked at it, saying this is good. And then reading things from Paul saying like the earth is groaning, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Like, what does that mean? What does it mean for his spirit to be alive and moving on earth?
Yeah.
Everywhere all at once. Does it pain God to see, you know, mass forestation, like deforestation? Does it pain God to see, you know, us trading space for parking lots left and right all over the face of the globe? Maybe. I think we were given a very good and big responsibility in the garden when and during the creation story of looking after, of caring, of, you know, monitoring creation. And then we rested on that one word of dominate and kind of took it from there. And we're at a space now where it's all about a human, you know, how will this creation benefit us? Hmm. And I think that could be, again, problematic because we're putting a hierarchy on God's created order, on creation itself, saying, you know, as long as we're comfortable and God's with us, then we can just run rampant and pollute and not care and be consumerists, and we kind of forget all these other responsibilities we have as being nurturers and as being responsible. And I'm not an environmentalist. I'm
yes, to clarify.
I'm the first, you know.
But a pipeline.
You know, not there's an interesting theory around that too, right? Like, will, you know, does it benefit all? You know, and one of the examples from a book I recently read was like, you know, will something like, and we're not talking about pipelines, but will something like that benefit the greater good overall? That would be a justification where, you know, oh, we're going to take that nice, you know, grass beach and we're just going to create another swimming pool for our comfort. Like, you know, we're going to kick out all of the migratory birds and animals. Like, that's a difference, right? And so, but it's caused me that line of thinking to actually consider consumption and think more about like something as simple as recycling. am I doing these things just because the bylaw officer told me I have to, or am I doing these things because I would like to take more responsibility for looking after God's creation, looking after this nature that we've been given responsibility for? And I think in honoring that, we are actually honoring the fact that God is present in creation, and that if He called it good and I'm working to destroy it, then that might be a problem.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's good to just clarify.
Please, please.
When we say that God is present everywhere in His creation, yet He's still distinct from His creation,
yeah,
right? Because
pantheism
would be that
into.
One
yeah.
step over the line where it's like, no, yeah. God is in the tree, and He is the rock. And Christians, we stop short of that, right? That He is present everywhere in His creation, yet He's not His creation. And I know that's not what you're saying.
No,
but
all of creation points back to yeah, God, creator. And yeah. and it's interesting through Scripture where God is used in the form of a dove, or you're using
yeah, yeah.
nature to reveal Himself.
Well, even in Jonah this week, yeah, right.
right?
He appoints the plant to grow up, then He appoints a worm to eat the plant, like
mm-hmm.
totally.
And I think that, yeah, again, just to clarify for those of
so
you
Cam's
who are
a pantheist,
we're gonna have a long talk.
I think that in fear of that, we've actually gone so far away from it
totally.
That we don't even entertain it, and we've made God actually boxed in humanity and not in, you know, some of what we're called towards. And I think that, yes, you want to. God is not a tree.
No, right.
But it's interesting to talk then about, so, God's presence. Like, how is He revealed all around us
yeah.
all of the time? You know, I've heard people say, I've walked through the forest and I've just felt at peace. I'm like, oh, I can't argue with that. It's probably a very peaceful place. It's created by a living God.
Yeah.
It's not the living God, but it is a beautiful part of His creation mm-hmm. designed for that purpose.
Yeah.
Could His Spirit be felt present there? Absolutely. His Spirit
yep.
is everywhere.
Yep.
But it doesn't make a church building God
yeah.
or a conversation with your pastor. That's not God, but it'll point you towards God. And you might leave feeling very much at peace because of the work of His Holy Spirit. And that's miraculous and
yeah, totally.
Difficult to explain.
Yeah. yeah.
How do you guys think God being omnipresent should affect our daily lives? Like, as Christians, as followers of Christ who believe that God is everywhere,
mm-hmm.
like, what do you think that practically looks like in our lives? There
Growing
is Sunday
up,
school
leader always said, God's in the bathroom with you boys. It's like, what? I never understood that.
Yeah.
And he really hammered it home, which is pretty funny. But, yeah, that's a very good question. You know, if God is everywhere, how does that navigate when we're dishonest, you
yeah.
know, when we think,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
when, you know, I think Andrew talked about business owners having to navigate some really difficult decisions when it might seem so easy to just put a check in this box. And
yeah,
how does that change when God is present?
Yeah, I think two ways. I think one, it's super convicting, like you said, because we're talking about, you know, sin, because I can do lots of things that only I know about, right? The idea of integrity being, what do you do when no one's looking? Well, the Christian worldview is there's always someone looking, right?
Yeah.
And so, one, I think that's convicting in a helpful way, not like, oh, great, God's always spying on me and I can never do anything. It's actually super helpful, I think, when I go, everything that I do, even when, quote, you know, no one sees it, God's presence is still there, and it's like it's like David says, it's like Jeremiah says, like, can we actually go somewhere to sin away from His presence? Well, no. So I think one, it actually helps, and it might not help if you're listening, but it helps me when I'm tempted to sin when no one's looking. Now, it doesn't always keep me from that. I still sin lots and I mess up. But it's yeah. almost like it's a good reminder of, it's not like I can, like, you know, close the door or go somewhere and, okay, whew, God's
yeah.
not here, now I can sin. It's no, he's with you. So one, I think it's super convicting in a good way. And then two, I think it's super comforting. And again, it just blows me away that the God of the universe would choose to be fully present with me? Like, why? I go, why? Like, have you met me? I'm not that great. Don't roll your eyes. But I think that's amazing and comforting when it's not – see, I think sometimes we view – and it's the Bruce Almighty, oh, God's so busy, and he's got all this stuff to deal with, so he doesn't have time for me. And the idea that God's omnipresent everywhere, that he's that powerful, that actually the fullness of his presence is with me, and it's with you, and it's with you,
yeah.
It just makes you go – who am I that God would be that gracious to me?
Yeah.
And then especially when you're going through persecution or suffering or sickness or whatever it is, to think that actually the God of the universe is present with you and he's actually well acquainted with suffering himself, that's massively comforting, I think.
Because it's not just conviction on your shoulder, it's mercy
hope. Yeah.
Right?
And when people don't need or don't realize that you're struggling with shame or guilt, it's that breath of hope and that mm-hmm. whisper of mercy with you. And so, like, draw on it. You know, like, accept this gracious free gift that is just with you. Mm-hmm. I think that's the a helpful reminder, too, because, yeah, God is present, and I think when we realize, like, man, could you imagine if someone was present with me all the time, knowing my thoughts, and then we might translate that into, wow, the conviction I would feel. Mm-hmm. But imagine if it was not that. Imagine if it was that gentle coaching, that, like, listen, man, I know, mm-hmm. you know. We can do this. Like, you can do, like, there is an encouragement and a hope that comes with that presence also.
Yeah.
Lean towards that. Yeah. Use that conviction to draw you closer to God.
Yeah.
That's the difference between condemnation and conviction. That condemnation is from the enemy that causes you to want to turn and walk from God. But that loving conviction draws us closer into relationship.
Yeah. I appreciate that you even elaborated or clarified on that a little bit, Cameron. That if you're feeling condemnation at the thought of God being with you everywhere, I think we can confidently say that that would not be from God, because he would reach out with love mm-hmm. and the gospel. Is he just, when he judges finally, to send people to hell if they have not repented of their sins and turned to him? Yes. But I think at least we've been given a period of grace, I would say, where we can make the choice to follow Jesus. And if you're feeling condemnation at the thought that he's with you all the time, focus on that, you know, this is maybe leading to a feeling of conviction and where you can repent and surrender to Christ and then start from there living. Yeah. Or if you have been living and have fallen to sin, repent, turn back to God mm-hmm. and keep going.
So is God present with unbelievers, present among?
You read my mind.
Ooh.
Well, as Corlin was speaking,
present here.
As Corlin was speaking, I'm like, how do we then engage yeah. with a lost world and a person who we would call yep. far from God? If by our own revelation in this past 40 minutes, we know that God is in and through that person.
Well, I would clarify that, because even the definition that Wayne Grudem gave, yet God acts differently in different places. I don't believe that lost people, unbelievers, they do not have the presence of God in them. Because yeah. John 14, yeah. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, that doesn't mean that God's Spirit is not working. Oh, I just said.
In that person's
yeah,
life?
Yeah, because I've talked to lost people that, it's like God opened up their eyes to their need of him, and the gospel makes sense. So God still works in those people.
Well, could that be a function of the Holy Spirit, though, sent to the world to convict yeah. of sin and to navigate yeah. that? But when that blinder is removed and you accept then yes. the gospel, that is a different element of God.
I think so.
Encompassing yep. and like yeah. infilling a person yep. with that hope and that eternal
yep.
hope and glory. That could be a really interesting thing to unpack at some point, like the process of salvation, maybe unpack some of Paul's theology around that. And
yeah.
What would then happen when a person accepts, quote unquote, Christ, right?
Because even someone, you know, is God present in hell? And we would say, well, he's present everywhere. Well, not there, but I think God is present in different, he acts differently in different places. Because even if you read Revelation, it talks about the smoke from their torment rises up to the presence of God. So it's not like, so is God present in hell? Perhaps, but his presence there is to punish, not to bless, not to sustain. That's the judgment of God, right? And so is the Spirit of God indwelling unbelievers, like John 14 says? Well, no, because they don't believe. So Jesus says, if you love me and you keep my word, I'll come and I'll make my home with you. Yet the Spirit of God convicts, because it says that, right?
I stand at the yeah, door and knock,
yep.
And whoever opens, I will, you know.
Oh, come in.
Yeah, exactly. So I think too, like, another thing. Are you leaving? Where are you going?
I gotta go to work. I start work.
Your boss is like right here.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, fresh revelation.
So, and then also, like, God's presence. So sometimes God's presence is to punish. You read all through the Old Testament, even the New Testament in Revelation. Sometimes God's presence, well, not sometimes, God's presence is sustaining the universe. Colossians 1:17, it says that God's actually holding the universe together. So think about that. If God, see you, Corland.
Yeah. See you, guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for talking.
What a good employee. Model citizen. Cam's like, I'll see you in 5 hours.
You say my boss is here. It's like, yeah, that's why I'm leaving. I got to go to work.
Don't worry. I can show up late. My boss doesn't know anything. See you, man.
I was going to suggest that until I realized you're probably signing someone off when you arrive. Thank you.
So yeah, God's actually sustaining the universe. He's holding it together. And then oftentimes God's presence is to bless us. His presence, I don't want to say shows up because it's everywhere, but his presence is to bless people. Like even in Psalm 16, David says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I think that's a good question to wrestle with. God is present everywhere, and yet he acts differently in different places. That's why I think sometimes you go, why is there revival happening over here and not over here? Well, God's present in both places. He's just choosing to act differently in this place than in this place. You know what I mean?
The idea of hell and presence is quite interesting, or even a person being able to reject God is quite fascinating. I was thinking of an analogy where God builds a house, gives it to you, paints it, decorates it, and then stands outside and says, hey, can I come check it out? And you're like, no. You know,
yeah,
it's
right?
Fascinating. And even on the thought train of hell, like a knowledge and awareness that God has of that, because it's created, although almost a choice absence being the definition of of hell, whether it's a geographical place or a position of absence from God.
Yeah, yeah.
A choice from being far away. I'm sure that breaks his heart through his just attributes, though. He allows that absence. And that's mind-blowing to consider, that we can just choose to not open the door, to not even investigate, or to not even ask a question.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting thought to wrestle through.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the main takeaway is those, how does it change the way we live? And we kind of already touched on that. I think it's really neat. And we just talked about how everybody's bringing it back to this whole COVID-19 situation. But I think it is true, because especially if you are one of the people who is very fearful and panicked and, if you have anxiety or you're afraid of what's going to happen, I think it's incredibly comforting to know that God is actually present with you. Not in like a hypothetical, don't worry, God's with us. No, like in reality, he's actually with you. Mm-hmm. If you trust in him, if you serve him, like Jesus says, if you love him and keep his word, he's going to make his presence with his home with you. So, A, that's really comforting. You know, we're all self-isolating. We're all staying home as much as possible. God's still with us. It was even neat you know, even these last few Sundays, I'm just reminded, you know, the worship team is here in an empty building, and I even said it to the worship team yesterday, you know, it'll feel weird, but it's almost kind of nice because it's a good reminder that you're not performing for anyone sitting in the pew. Like, Jesus is actually here with us. Do we actually believe that? Well, yeah. Well, then this is actually better, almost, right? Because you're singing and you're worshiping, and Jesus is the only one here, and we can't physically see him, and yet he's with us. And then we're all in our houses, and it's not like, well, I guess this is second best because God's at the church. It's like, no, he's actually with you right now as you sing, So in one hand, it's a good point of theology for this time, right?
Absolutely. And we will say it is the trust is essential, but it is difficult. And even as we walk through uncertain days, I mean, in my own personal life, I go home to immunocompromised individuals, and I must leave my home often to support the work of the food bank and the work of the emergency shelter. My wife and I had to have a conversation like, do we believe and trust that God has called us to serve in this capacity?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Okay, well, then this is what it means, and so be it.
Yeah.
Will it mean no illness in our home? No, actually. It doesn't actually mean that.
Yeah.
Does it mean wisdom, precaution, praying for safety and health and healing? Absolutely. But is God good? Is God present amongst grief and struggle? Yes, yes. Yeah. And the hope that we have is that we've been given tools to navigate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's encouraging to know that we are present with the creator of the universe, that the hope made known for everyone is available for us right now.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's a good place to end it, I think. So hopefully that's been encouraging to you. If you do have questions or topics that you want us to talk about, either on Mondays or just a little plug, while we're living in this season of kind of not gathering together in person, every Wednesday I'm doing a live Q&A on Facebook. And so if you have questions that you think would be better for that, you can always text 778-400-4549. And we've done it for 2 weeks. It's been really good, just really good questions. And some that I'm like, oh, dear Lord, what have I done? So either, if you want the Roundtable podcast to wrestle with some stuff or the live Q&A, just let us know. And we want to make this as practical as possible. So thanks for listening. And we are signing off, and we'll talk to you next week.